This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSIN Action Update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
Kansas City Chiefs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl title. They'll open up the playoffs in the divisional round with the Cleveland Browns at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. The Browns are the 10-point road dog, a total of 57. On a numbers game with Gil Alexander, former NFL offensive lineman and SiriusXM NFL host Jeff Schwartz says he likes Kansas City's team total to go over.
It would look at the Chiefs team total. I think it's at 32.5. I think I'm right there. Maybe 33, maybe 32, somewhere around there. Every time they play a bad defense off a bye, and the Browns are a bad pass defense. They're bad against deep passes. They're bad against tight, covering tight ends. They're bad at all of that. They're bad at all of it. The Chiefs score a ton of points because Pat Mahomes kind of hones back into what he does well. In case the defense gives him, they're rested, they're fresh. And the Chiefs score a ton of points in this game. So the question is whether their defense, which is awful in the red zone, which can be run on, whether they can do enough to cover the 10 points. And everyone always says, well, you can run the ball on the Chiefs, and that's the way to win the game. Yeah, sure, but you better score touchdowns when you run the football. And also, if you get behind 14 points in the third quarter, are you still running the ball? If you think the Chiefs start slow, which they've done so far this season, they've done a little bit off by, kind of start slow, maybe grab a better number early in the game. The Browns will feel confident. They come out, maybe get it 3 or 7 right away, and you get a better number. But I lean toward the Chiefs here, but I definitely, like my number one pick this weekend, I love team total over for the Chiefs. I don't like betting overs a lot, but this one I love.
Former NFL offensive lineman and SiriusXM NFL host Jeff Schwartz on a numbers game with Gil Alexander weekdays 10 to noon Eastern on VSIN. The Buccaneers and the Saints will meet for the third time this year. The Saints won the first two meetings. This time, the Saints are laying 3. Pro Football Focus's Eric Eagers says he likes the Buccaneers plus the points.
Yeah, this is a great one where you look at just like the pure power numbers of a game, and you probably have, you know, the Saints being 2.5 points better than the Bucs. And, you know, you look historically at home field advantage for New Orleans is generally speaking very good, but goes away, you know, with the limited fans to no fans in the 2020 season. And then it goes away a little bit more because the Saints, who are the 2 seed, no longer have the bye that they're used to having. Familiarity when it comes to, you know, home field advantage also reduces that number. And then having a brilliant Hall of Fame quarterback on the other side being able, I mean, we saw that Sunday Night Football game early in the season where Aaron Rodgers was able to check at the line of scrimmage to his heart's content. Brady, obviously, you know, having now 17 games in this Buccaneers offense, very comfortable at this point. That's why, you know, when I look at this, I know the matchup has been tough for Tampa the first two times. Todd Bowles has been sort of run in circles by Sean Payton, but I think the third time around here, I'm going to go with Tampa plus the points.
Eric Eager of Pro Football Focus on betting across America. Heard weekdays 3 to 5 Eastern, weekends 1 to 3 Eastern on VSIN. It's another huge NFL playoff weekend coming up, plus daily basketball and tennis betting action. And the NHL drops the puck this week. The VSIN experts are working on every sport every day to give you a betting edge. Subscribers get all of your insights and analysis for the NFL playoff matchups at our new NHL betting guide to help you make the most informed betting decisions possible. Become a VSIN All Access subscriber today. VSIN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. With your action update, I'm Mike Senna.
Get the latest VSIN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
It's the most exciting time of the sports betting year. With football playoffs, pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, soccer, tennis, and with all this action, you need the analysis and insights from VSIN sports betting experts more than ever. Get daily email best bets from our hosts and guests, 24/7 video streaming, and our point spread weekly betting guides to improve your betting IQ and give yourself an edge. Invest in your sports betting success with a VSIN subscription today at VSIN.com/subscribe.
Did you miss a VSiN show? We have multiple daily and weekly podcasts to keep you up to date on all the latest sports betting action. VSiN Best Bets bringing you the highlights from our daily lineup of shows, including Follow the Money and A Numbers Game. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum gets you ready with the latest lines and action. Beating the Book with Gail Alexander provides the insider view on analytics-based betting strategy from professional bettors, handicappers, and sportsbook operators. Visit vsin.com/podcast today to find all of our podcast options.
Lombardi Line, a day before divisional weekend kicks off as we welcome you in here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi, we say good morning, good afternoon. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing great, Patrick. How are you today, huh?
I am tremendous, my friend. Thank you for asking. We're going to get updated on the numbers here in just a little bit. I don't know about you, this is the best weekend of the year when it comes to NFL football.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, this is the Elite Eight. This is the eight best teams. I think each team has demonstrated enough skill set to get through the playoffs, win enough games, play well on the road, play well at home, have versatility within their offense, defense, and the kicking game. And now this is truly the test of what quarterback plays well and how their defense can play complementary to what their offense has done. So this round is the separation round. But the teams that are here do belong here. There's no doubt. And I think last week, Chicago didn't belong. That was obvious. Washington, in spite of the heroics by Taylor Heinicke, didn't really belong based on their offense. But everything else kind of played into place. And I think we saw that. Indy, even though some might say they didn't belong, they did. They played Buffalo as well as anybody. But I think these are the eight best teams we've seen this year in the NFL.
Now, you got to be careful with Chicago because management obviously thought they belong because they're going to run it back with the general manager and the head coach. They're going to run it back.
Well, they should, Patrick. And well, they should. I mean, if I were in Chicago, I would just be delighted about that. And I think there's no doubt that you watch quarterbacking play, that you watch Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay, or you watch Kirk Cousins in Minnesota, or you even watch Matthew Stafford in Detroit, you know you're onto something.
100%. Now, as reported here first, and Michael Lombardi, M. Lombardi NFL on his podcast as well, Urban Meyer right now taking questions from the Jacksonville media and the national media. He is the next head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Last night, we did learn that Robert Saleh, he's going to Detroit. No, he's not going to the Detroit Lions. He's going to the New York Jets.
I don't think he was ever in play in Detroit, Patrick. I really don't. I think Saleh was in play at the Jets. I think that was the one he was in play. He went and interviewed in Philadelphia. But I think he was in play at the Jets. And if he didn't take that Jet job, I don't know which one he would have gotten. Maybe the Chargers. I don't know. The Chargers, you know, obviously we're talking to Urban Meyer. So we'll see. This is a hire for the Jets that I think is going to be interesting to examine. I mean, he plays one front, plays one coverage. Everyone says he's a great leader, and he's from the Pete Carroll school. But the Pete Carroll school of defense is kind of dwindling, and even Pete Carroll doesn't run the Pete Carroll school of defense any longer because it's kind of outdated. So I think we'll see how this works. He's going to hire Matt LaFleur's brother, Mike, as his offensive coordinator, who's on the San Francisco staff, which means San Francisco is willing to allow him to go. Kyle runs the offense anyway. So this will be interesting how it works. We think Arthur Smith will be named the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons today. That's been in the works for some time. The question I have is, did Arthur Smith have a chance at the Jet job and turn it down? Or did Arthur Smith not have the Jet job? They picked Saleh, and he took the Atlanta job. That one I'm not sure of.
Okay, let me follow up with a couple here, if you don't mind. So Saleh, never in the mix for Detroit because of his wants or because Detroit, maybe Spielman and the Ford family said, we're not interested? Was he narrowly focused on the Jets? What was the reason for no interest in Detroit?
You know, I mean, you get so many different variations of who did well on the interview, who didn't do well. I mean, I was told by people in the league that Detroit wasn't blown away by it. I think Detroit has their eyes on Dan Campbell, the coach down in in New Orleans, the tight ends. He's more of the guy that they're looking at. Now, I don't know what that means as they bring someone in with Brad Holmes now as the general manager of the team, what he's going to look for. But I my sense of it is, you know, the media makes things out to be something bigger than perhaps they really are.
Yep, well put. Arthur Smith, that's quite an ascension, huh? If he gets that Atlanta job, which you've been reporting here, that he is going to get it. This is a guy that hadn't called an offense until last year, and all of a sudden here he is. He's going to be coaching in Atlanta. Good job, because Blank's a good owner. He'll keep you around.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, he's going to have Terry Fontenot as his general manager along with Rich McKay, who's really the general manager. So, you know, I think Arthur Smith, if you talk to anybody in the league about paying your dues and becoming a head coach, Arthur Smith certainly has done that. 10 years, he's worked his way up from an intern there in Tennessee, graduate assistant, tight end coach, to becoming the offensive coordinator. And look, the proof is in the pudding. He's made Ryan Tannehill a better player. Ryan Tannehill there has done a much better job than he ever did in Miami. And you got to give Arthur Smith some credit. Thought the offense in Tennessee was really good. It was better than when Matt LaFleur was there. There's no denying that. So we'll see how this works out. I think it's a good opportunity for him. It's really a good opportunity to me for Atlanta to kind of fix their quarterback situation and then work their way through that, knowing Ryan probably has to play one more year, but also draft a guy for the future.
100%. Here on the Lombardi Line, of course, we talk about these moves because the futures market will pop up and you'll have to take advantage given the information. And one of those is, of course, so I mentioned, as you mentioned, Meyer in Jacksonville. Looks like Linehan, longtime offensive coordinator, prolific in Detroit with Stafford, is going to be the OC. Raheem Morris has been reached out to about the defensive coordinator job.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Raheem Morris did a tremendous job. This is where I have problems with Salai, Quinn, Bradley, right? Those guys have gotten hired. Right. But if you pay attention to the league and you watch tape, you see Atlanta after Dan left. And I think Dan Quinn's a wonderful man. I think he's a really good coach for that scheme. But that scheme is kind of dried up. They all run the Tampa Bay scheme with Tony Dungy. That ran its course. They all kind of have different ways. Mark Twain once said history doesn't repeat, but it does rhyme. Well, the rhyming's over with that scheme. And I think that you have to look at that. Maharis, when he came to Atlanta, he changed that scheme. He did variations. He did more man coverage, more zone blitzes, and then played zone. So there was a 33% kind of breakdown of what he was trying to do defensively, which I think you have to do. I think anytime you play one scheme, one front, like Salah does in San Francisco, or Wade Phillips did in Los Angeles last year, you become stagnant. You rely on all having superior talent, and not all these teams do. I think Morris would be really good for Urban Meyer in Jacksonville.
I'm sure it precedes him, but I feel like that goes back to Monty Kiffin running that scheme for Tony Dungy. Am I right or wrong?
No, it was. So it really was. So what happened was the genesis of the scheme started with Pete Carroll. It started with Monty Kiffin. It really started with Floyd Reese in Minnesota back in the early 80s when they played an eight-man front with a great three technique, Chris Dolman at defensive end, Al Noga. They had players, right? It was a scheme to play fast. And Pete took it with him everywhere he went. And then he's trained all these guys on the scheme. That scheme then became a variation of Tampa 2. When Monty went to Tampa, he took the scheme, he modified it, kind of changed what he did. Same front, same structure, same eight-man front, kind of changed the coverage a little bit. That lasted a little while. Now that's over with. Tampa 2's kind of done. You can't run Tampa 2 and hold anybody down. Now we're seeing this. So look, anytime you get a really good coordinator who understands how to attack what Seattle's doing in terms of their concepts in the back end, it's pretty, they attack it well, unless Seattle or San Francisco or those teams just have superior talent and can dominate up front. It's all about the front, this scheme. It's all about having great players in the defensive line.
Okay, we're filling out the head coaches, of course. Jets, Salah is in. Looks like Smith is going to be in Atlanta. We know, of course, Jacksonville has hired Urban Meyer, and we shall find out about the Chargers, of course, Philadelphia, Detroit, as we continue. Quick question for you, and then we're going to get right into the games. Devontae Smith, again, we've devalued the running back position and the wide receiver position as far as a high draft pick, a premium pick. Devontae Smith, does he stand out to you as a wide receiver that you would risk a high draft choice? The Jets are in discussion if they keep Darnold and they don't trade out.
Well, I mean, look, he's an explosive player with rare speed. There's no doubt. But he's a different body type than, say, Tyreek Hill. Yeah. You know, this is – he's a very thin, frail kid that, you know, is – you know, going to have to show that he can withstand the power and the punishment. And he's going to impact the game. What was shocking about the Ohio State-Alabama game was they didn't double him. Ohio State played basically a general coverage. They played field zone to him. They never doubled him. They played cover three to the field. They played cover one. It was fairly simplistic. And I think that affected. I mean, it was an easy game for Steve Sarkisian and Mac Jones to go out there and just pitch and catch because there was really no problems.
Okay, it's Michael Lombardi. I'm Patrick Maher. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Of course, we've got divisional weekend coming up, and I thought what we'd do, we're going to be breaking these down Saturday and Sunday. Josh is going to be joining us in just a little bit, but let's just get your overview on these numbers. So the Rams at Green Bay, still sitting 6.5. I do see one book jumped to 7. Baltimore, Buffalo, 2.5. We're now starting to see some 3 creeps in. Buffalo laying it, of course. Cleveland, Kansas City. Kansas City now has been bet down to 9.5. Yesterday, mostly 10s. A couple of 10s still on the board. Tampa Bay, New Orleans. New Orleans, 3 across the board. Let's go to the top. Rams, Green Bay. Surprised it's sticking there at 6.5?
No, because I think everybody knows this game's going to come down to defense, right? The Rams have to win this game with their defense. I make fun of Goff in cold weather. He's 3-1 in temperatures below 40 degrees. He hasn't played well. 50% completion, 6.3 yards per attempt, 5 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. But that being said, that, you know, their defense is tough to play. They do a lot of different things. They're multiple. Now, here's what we do know. Aaron Rodgers understands this scheme. He's played against Vic Fangio a lot in his career in Green Bay. You're not going to fool him. You're not going to fool him. And he's good enough with the ball in his hand to get it out quick. And they can neutralize the impact of an Aaron Donald, of a Leonard Floyd, by getting the ball out quick and also being able to get them in the right run. I think Rodgers is playing at such an elite level right now that it's hard for me to think that they, A, aren't going to cover the spread, and B, aren't going to really play their best football or continue to play their best football. It's just a challenge, and I don't see where the Rams are going to be able to generate. The magic number for me is the Rams need 140 yards rushing in this game. They're not going to live and die with Jared Goff throwing the football. There's going to be too much pressure on them. The ends, especially with Gary. Gary has come in and given this Green Bay defense a lot of help. And over the last 5 weeks, they've cut people's point total down to 17. So the Rams defense is dominant, but Green Bay has played better. We make fun of Mike Pettine and the defense all the time, but they have played better. They've been able to get control of games, which has allowed Rodgers to really take over. This is a big step for the Rams, a huge step for the Rams. I think it's a challenge.
It's 1v1. The Packers, the best scoring offense in football. The Rams were number one in scoring defense. It'll be interesting. You know, a matchup mostly discussed because schematically what you can do by leaving them alone. Devontae Adams and Jalen Ramsey. I'm not sure if anybody can check Devontae by himself, but they'll give it a try with Jalen Ramsey.
Well, yeah, I think so. You know, and look, I think what they have to also do, Patrick, is try to fool Aaron Rodgers. Just because Jalen Ramsey goes with Devontae Adams doesn't necessarily mean they're playing man.
Right.
And just because he doesn't go with them doesn't mean they're not playing man. So you've got to kind of mess around with it. Rodgers is so good. He's so good at the line of scrimmage, no crowd noise to affect him. He's going to get him into the right play. He's got to be able to run the football against him a little bit to keep him off balance. And, you know, other than the left tackle, which, you know, can Billy Turner hold up over there against Leonard Floyd, they're going to have enough easy throws that they can make. And I don't think they're going to have to go towards the side of Jalen Ramsey very often.
Speaking of so good, shout to Millie, the birthday girl here, Cooper Kupp.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, this is bigger than Bermfest. I have to admit that. Happy birthday, Bill, but it's bigger than Bermfest.
Everybody,
there's no doubt.
Everybody would admit that. But I bring her up because Cooper Kupp, she's a fan. So is BB.
Yeah, nice player.
Yeah, nice player. Well, we know this. Wolford's out. So, as you mentioned, Goff is in. But they've been dealing. Obviously, Aaron Donald, Cooper Kupp. There's injury concerns coming into this, even if they do play.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, when guys are hurt and they come in the game, they give it everything they have, they might not be the same player. I mean, we saw Buffalo take Cole Beasley and Diggs off the injury report. I just watched Beasley last week. He didn't look like he could come off any injury report. That's more for show than reality. But it's the same thing with Cooper Kupp. He's going to go. He's going to play. But we know this. The Packers know to take him out of the game. Now, it's going to, can Robert Woods take a step up? You know, who is going to make some plays for them that they're not going to get? And, you know, Cam Akers, everybody's going to think, look, McVay's going to come in and run the football, much like Kyle Shanahan did against Green Bay, much like, you know, teams can do when they attack Green Bay. And that's good in theory. I don't know if that's going to be good in reality.
The Goff face. You may want to wait until you get into the game and see what the Goff face is doing.
Oh, how cold is he going to look?
He's going to look so
cold. How cold will he look? Oh, my gosh.
Nobody will ever have looked colder.
He's probably got a standing reservation. Do you remember in Goodfellas when they go to the Coca Cabana and they bring the table right out in front and the character sits right, Henry Hill sits right in front with the girlfriend?
Yeah.
That's going to be Goff at the heaters. He's going to have a table right in front of the heaters with his hands.
His grill just has a hard time reacting to things. His face has a hard time reacting. It's almost like Eli, but Eli was placid. It was just always in the same idol.
I mean, you'd think he's going into Sweden the way he's going to react to this cold weather. I mean, seriously. You know, I would recommend if he's smart, he just goes out and buys like a scuba outfit. You know, one that clings to his body. Like when Millie and I walk the dogs in the morning, there's people surfing in the ocean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then it keeps, I said, like, don't you get cold? No, it keeps us warm. I would recommend Goff does that. Wear a scuba out. Now, he can't go to the bathroom for 3 hours, but other than that, he's fine.
Okay, for recreational bettors, there is no truth to the rumor this game is being played in Sweden. When we come back, Baltimore-Buffalo, we'll get to that matchup, of course. You got the four biggies over the weekend. Josh is going to join us as well. If you need anything, just go to vsin.com. We're coming back here on the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. It is VSIN, the sports betting network. Basketball, hockey. You can get it all at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app. Whatever your wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more, you're going to love it. BetMGM, download the app today. Bring your state-issued ID to any MGM casino on the Strip, anywhere in Nevada, whatever your sport, whatever your style, you're going to love it. And also, we report VSIN live from Mandalay Bay every weekend to bring you the analysis of the best matches. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older, physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Okay, good Friday to you as we welcome you back. It's a great day here at VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. We've got Josh Applebaum joining us in just a bit. I'm not trying to stir the pot. I will take credit for the big 76ers win. Thank you, Bill Berman, last night. Not only
two wins.
Two wins. And convincing. A 125-108 win. Now, there was steam on the Heat, however, because that number got bet down to 8.5. The 76ers easily cover. There's a gentleman I wanted to focus on quickly here, Ben Simmons. He had a triple-double last night. He goes for 10, 10, and 12. However, I do have a quote for you I wanted to pass along, Michael. An anonymous NBA exec says Bill Simmons is the reason why the 76ers won't go far. Quote, I think Philly missed an opportunity and now is stuck being in the middle of the East. They're not as good as Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Boston, and in the end, Miami. They might just be a number five seed at the end of the season. Ben Simmons has not improved in one area of his game at all since coming into the league. He's the same player today he was in his rookie year, and teams have figured out in the playoffs, that's why they won't go far. Mr. Simmons, Ben in Philly, your thoughts on the anonymous source?
Well, I mean, I think that's it's easy to say. I think that there's other pieces around the player that certainly can help him. And, you know, everybody wants him to shoot more. Everybody wants him to take three. But I think he's a facilitator. And I think when you look at some of the young players they have, Maxey. I mean, this Isaiah Joe kid they drafted in the second round was 4-for-8 from three-point line last night and has played really well offensively and defensively. So, you know, I think that's a little premature. I think it's what we call in scouting a picker. When you pick on one area of a player constantly – and you might accuse me of that with Mitchell Trubisky, but I pick on every area of Mitchell Trubisky. So when you pick on one area and focus on that, you lose the big picture. And I think oftentimes people do that with Simmons. And, you know, Simmons is a huge asset for them defensively. They're going to need him to play at a high level. Now, do they need other pieces? Yeah, I do think they do. There's no denying it. They need everybody to step up, and they need the big fella to not play like he did last night, to play like he's capable of what he's done the last few weeks.
Did Embiid just decide – that's interesting. You pick up a win by 20, and Embiid shows up, plays 23 minutes, 9 points, a 3-of-8 from the floor, 5 boards, 3 turnovers. He just wasn't into it? Not into it? Not feeling it?
You know, I think there were, it sounded like he had some kind of cold. I don't know.
Okay.
But, I mean, it was one of those games where he didn't have to, which is a good sign for the Philadelphia 76ers, that they don't need him to carry the franchise, that they can actually shoot. I mean, they shot over 50% from the floor last night and in the 40% on 3 points. That's something that's rarely seen in Philadelphia.
Shake Milton went nuts last night. Have you seen it for a better? Have you just seen anything discernible from Brown to Doc Rivers now as far as the way the team's playing?
Yeah, you definitely see it. It's a lot more pick and rolls. It's a lot more opportunities for the players because they've got better spacing on the court. And I think they've utilized some of the skill set that Embiid has. I mean, he's brought the ball up in their what they call their 1-5 set where he takes the ball away from the four other players and runs it and kind of gets into the paint himself. So, you know, I don't know if they're playing at the same level defensively that they were under Brett Brown. I think that needs to continue to grow as they get some kind of continuity together. But their offense is better because they have much better spacing on the floor with Danny Green and with Seth Curry when they were going. And the other factor is they now can move Tobias to the four and let him guard other fours as opposed to making him guard threes, which he's not very good at doing.
When people ask me about betting the NBA specifically this year, I will recommend attacking the prop market because you're seeing, you know, 20-point wins, 30-point wins. Michael, the full application of no fans, I think we're starting to see once these games start to get out of hand, that energy that is non-existent does have an impact on these games.
Yeah, and I think it is hard. I mean, Tobias Harris said he was just happy to leave the house last night after 8 days at home. I mean, they've now kind of gone to a remote bubble. So, you know, players, if they're home, they can't leave. If they go on the road, they can't leave the hotel. And there's going to be heavy-duty fines. I mean, you know, Kyrie's coming back, Patrick.
Yeah.
I mean, he's even admitted he's going to play on Saturday. I'm sure the lights will go dim on Broadway now that he's returning.
Tobias Harris, I just want to say I feel you. I'm looking to get out of the house as well, man.
No, you're not. You're loving this. You love it.
Been a while since I could get out of the house. When we come back,
you love it.
We're going to welcome in Josh Applebaum here, and we'll continue with divisional weekend, of course. Big weekend coming up in the NFL. It's the Lombardi Lines, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Hockey season with our NHL betting preview guide. Over 80 pages of insights on the teams, players, and trends to watch from Andy McNeil, our VSiN hockey expert. It's available now for all VSiN subscribers, or you can get your own copy today. It's only $9.99. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, a couple things. One, Market Insights, the podcast, dropped 34 minutes ago. Also, if you go to VSiN.com, enter your email address. You want to wake up to the latest in news and information. It's completely free. All you do is enter your email address. And a gentleman that's involved in that is Josh Applebaum, of course. He hosts the Market Insights podcast. This is the Lombardi Line, Michael Lombardi in Jersey. Josh Applebaum in the Northeast there. We say good morning, Josh. Good afternoon. How are you?
Patrick, Michael doing great. And Michael, by the way, you had the Goodfellas reference. How about Jared Goff in the Pine Barrens episode of Sopranos? They should have stopped at Roy Rogers. They're going to have to pull up some carpet to stay warm. But yeah, hopefully he's not like Paulie and Christy in that episode.
It's a best.
No doubt. No doubt. But he might be lost and make good time. We might have to send Bobby Bacala in one of those suits to come get him. I mean, could you imagine that face when he comes out on the field? I can't wait for it.
He's going to be struggling. Josh, how are we doing? Quickly, I know you want to talk about teasers. I know you get into the NHL early on. I know some bettors that hold off with the season starting. Anything you would offer as far as advice for getting involved early in NHL betting here?
Yeah, so obviously, Patrick, you know, we just had the NHL start here, and really kind of you guys know me as a contrarian guy, a dog guy, a lot of unders.
No way.
The NHL, I know, it's a big surprise here on a Friday, but the NHL is like the one sport, Patrick, where I do lean on a little more favorites here if you compare the NHL. Obviously, it's a money line sport. We're really not betting the puck line, the spread. We're looking at, you know, who's going to win the game. And if you compare the NHL to the other major sports, favorites win at a little higher rate than they would in, you know, like the NFL or MLB or the NBA. So one system I really like is road favorites with a line move. You have diminished, you know, home ice advantage here, obviously with COVID, no fans in the stands as well. So that's just one basic thing I look at. Road favorites with a line move in their favor. The line moves are key in the NHL because there's no public betting hockey. There's really no, you know, average Joe's waking up betting hockey. It's a lot of diehards. So those line moves can be, you know, really oftentimes, you know, caused by some respected money. So a couple hits last night were the Bruins, Minnesota Wild. So that's just one kind of starting point there with the NHL this
year. Great stuff. Now, you wanted to talk about the teases coming into the weekend. Now, just a quick glance at the four games. As far as favorites to tease, Green Bay's in the mix. I don't see others. I see dogs that you'd like to tease up. Let's go ahead and jump into that.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Patrick. So remember, we had, you know, this past weekend, dogs do pretty well. We talked about on the Lombardi line, they're 4-2 ATS. You get to the divisional round, dogs in the last decade around 59% ATS. So, of course, you know, wrote about this in the newsletter this morning at VSIN. We're looking at teasing through multiple key numbers, which you do a great job of highlighting, Patrick, trying to go through three, trying to go through seven. It's really pointless to tease through zero, you know, a -3 favorite flipping a +3. But Michael, I wanted to throw this one at you because the one that really jumps out to you right now as a teaser opportunity is the Ravens, because the Ravens right now are at +2.5 and they fit a nice spot here because you could take the 2.5, tease them up to +8.5. That's important because you go through the three, you go through the seven. We have seen some line movement here toward the Ravens. It was big at the beginning, 3 down to like 2 or 1.5. We thought this would go to a pick'em. You've had some buyback here with Buffalo. Weather looks pretty bad, Patrick, here, as you noticed, Doppler-Maher. But Michael, what do you think about the 2.5 to 8.5? Would that interest you as a teaser with the Ravens?
You know, look, yeah, it would, because I like Baltimore in the game. I think Baltimore's defense will play well against Buffalo. I think Buffalo will move the football. I'm not saying they're going to shut them down, but I do think the Achilles heel of Buffalo's football team is their inability to play big, their inability to play physical on defense and stop a really good run game. And I think that Baltimore will be able to run the ball with power, and they have to run the ball with power. I mean, Buffalo gave up 247 to Kansas City. Now, albeit that was at a nickel formation, they got him in the nickel and they ran the ball. Buffalo was encouraging them to run. But when you look at New England and two backs, they were able to run the football. They had to go on down for the winning touchdown until Cam fumbled. So, you know, I do think that this is a tough matchup for Buffalo in a lot of different ways.
Hey, who needs it? Let's go money line. Let's go Ravens. I'm like a Philly better now, Michael. I'm going money line.
No doubt. No doubt.
I mean, no doubt. Yeah. There's no reason for it to do anything.
It makes sense.
Saturday, look, from my Doppler, now again, as Michael knows, I like to go game day. I like to go day of. I'm not like your traditional weather person. Also, that's when I Google it. Saturday, it does appear at 36, and I don't see precip. I see precip and snow coming up on Sunday in Buffalo and Orchard Park. Maybe a little rain today, but tomorrow should be okay, 36. Now, we're going to get to a couple of the college basketball games coming up for you, Josh. You got a couple of plays for the listeners. Any other movements of the four this weekend that you're monitoring right now?
Yeah, one that's intriguing to me is really sitting on a tightrope here is this Cleveland Browns and Kansas City game, because this is the one game of all four games this weekend, you've had pretty clear line moves. Line moved a little bit to the Rams, 7 to 6.5. Lines moved a little bit to Tampa Bay, you know, +4, 3.5 down to 3. That may come back to 3.5. And of course, we talked the line moving a little bit to Baltimore here. But this one is the one that really hasn't moved too much. But over the last couple days, we've seen a little bit of pull back the curtain, maybe some money leaning on the Browns here, because this game was painted minus 10 across the board, every single book for pretty much all week. But we started to see a little juice liability toward the Browns, plus 10, minus 115. We're showing, you know, at a couple books, you are inching down to 9.5 at this point. So, Michael Lombardi, how much, stock do you put into getting Stefanski back, Ward, Johnson, maybe Betonio, a lot of points in a playoff game? But are you worried with Patrick Mahomes that, you know, in a flash, he could go up by 14?
You know, I think when you watch this matchup and you study it, Cleveland's defense is really vulnerable to the passing game. Cleveland's defense is not good, whether they have Denzel Ward back or not. And without Olivier Vernon coming off of one edge, you know, it's going to be a challenge. And look, they've got to get stops in the first half. They've got to get stops. They cannot play this game from behind. That first drive of the game, if they get the ball, they have to score. They've got to play in front. They've got to keep their running game in the game by scores, not necessarily by production. And I think that this is where it really becomes a problem. And if they give up a big play, if they're able to allow Kansas City to make certain plays down the field and get behind, and the pressure to play well falls on Mayfield and his drop back pass game, which there is none. There is no drop-back pass game. Then all of a sudden, they're going to have a hard time blocking Frank Clark. They're going to have a hard time blocking Chris Jones. I like Kansas City here today. I think Andy Reid coming off a bye. And I think Kansas City keeps their foot on the gas in this game.
Well, I think if you like Kansas City, I think that 9.5, scoop it up, because I think we may get back up to 10. That's a bit, it's coming off that 10 is a big, remember, that's a key number, and that's huge if you're a Chiefs backer. Wait for it if you're a Browns backer. When we come back, first off, I want to get into Tampa Bay and New Orleans. When we come back, I want you both to answer this question. Of the four, if you could only watch one this weekend and bet on one this weekend, which one would it be? We'll come back with Michael Lombardi and Josh Applebaum and get a couple of college basketball plays for tonight as well. Come on back. MGM customers, a chance to win $100 free tonight. You place a $1 wager on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three. Simply sign up and use the bonus code VSIN100. Start off the year right at BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app today. Use the code VSIN100 to win $100 when you bet $1 on the Lakers or Pelicans to hit a three. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Remember, that's going to be paid in free bets. 21 years or older, Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia. Again, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa and Tennessee. Call or text Redline, 800-889-9789. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Again, if you are just joining us, this is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. That number tonight, by the way, New Orleans at the Lakers, has been bet all the way up to 10 with the Lakers laying it. They're red hot. I'm Patrick Maher. He's Michael Lombardi. And, of course, Josh Applebaum joins now. That is, it's a sport right now. By the way, as I read these reads, I realize we're adding more and more states, Josh Applebaum, as far as legalization, right?
We are, yeah. There's rumors here. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there's talk about Massachusetts, which I have a big stake in. I'm in Boston here. But yeah, I think, you know, number one, it's just spreading legalization across, America anyway. Just, you know, hey, people are going to bet on sports anyway. You know, why not get a stake in the financial game and use that tax revenue to help the people? Hopefully that's the goal. But yeah, I think the other thing is so many states are in a budget crunch, Patrick, with COVID. They're dying for money. You saw Andrew Cuomo. actually make a push in New York. That's the fourth most populous state. If that got legalized, that would be huge. But fingers crossed with Massachusetts. I know the Sox are lobbying, and DraftKings is located in Boston. So hopefully that benefits us, more of an audience to talk sports betting with.
Here's what we do know, Michael Lombardi, and the reason the Lombardi line is so important on Saturdays and Sundays here on VSiN. Remember, you can check us out 7 West, 10 East for 2 hours every Saturday and Sunday. What we do know is with every single weekend like this, they're breaking records hugely, bigly, as Josh would say, breaking records as far as handle, because so many more people are getting involved.
Yeah, I mean, jerseys, I think they released it the other day. I mean, it was astronomical, the amount of money being shared here in New Jersey in the Garden State. And, you know, look, the books can't necessarily be over 25% capacity, nor can they stay open past 10 o'clock. They can stay open. They just can't serve food past then. But the reality of it is people enjoy it. This is the time of the year, and we're here to help you make money. I mean, we're here to facilitate making, being on the right side of the number, or at least understanding why you're playing a number.
Yep, 100%. And I will say, you clown me for wanting to stay in. Okay, enough already, universe. I'm ready to go out. I'm ready to have normal life. It's going to be
Are you going to Stadium Swim this weekend to watch the games?
Oh, yeah. No, those are my buddies over there. I'm excited to get over there. Trust me when I say I'll be there. What, the water wings? You know what I'm saying?
No chance.
I'll bring my rubber ducky. Okay, so that's one. Just shout out to the universe. Two, I asked you the question now. My question about Tampa Bay and New Orleans, Michael, and, you know, New Orleans is laying 3, juiced up to 120, so we're headed to 3.5. That's the game I don't want to watch this weekend. First off, I'm bored of Brady, I'm bored of Breeze, no offense. But secondly, we know what New Orleans does to Tampa Bay. This is double-digit wins 2 times in the regular season.
Yeah, I mean, look, let's go back even further. Bruce Arians hasn't beaten Sean Payton. He's 0-4 against him. Lost 2 games last year, you know? And I just think, to me, the way Sean calls a game, first of all, as background, the Bucs are the one team in the National Football League where the opponent has thrown more passes in the first half than tried to run. Teams don't come out trying to run the football on Tampa. They come out trying to throw it. They come out trying to get the lead because they know the weakness of this is really where they're going. And that's the reality. And Sean did that the last game. I mean, Cook turns the ball over in Tampa on the 1 yard line. Kind of that game's getting away from him early. And then they get it back and make it 14. And before you know it, Brady's out of the game. They couldn't convert a third down. They couldn't separate. I mean, the first third down in the game for the Tampa Bay Bucs, they try to run Y-stick to Gronk, and Malcolm Jenkins just had him wired. They tried to throw it out to Malcolm to Gronk on another third down. Malcolm Jenkins had him wired. It was hard. They covered very well in that game, and they put pressure on Brady in that game. And it's no secret they've dominated both games. They've dominated the last 4 games. They match up well. And as Parcells once said, believe what you see. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe what I see. And I saw a leaky defense. I saw a leaky defense against the Washington football team by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
100%. Listen, New Orleans dominated the regular season series. They won 34-23 and then 38-3. Now, this is for you, Josh. Brady is trying to reach a conference championship for a staggering 14th time. Is that good? Breeze looking for his fourth. Two top six defenses. You're looking at a total. Where are we at on the total here? Let me just make sure I get this right. Opened 49. It's been bet up to 52, Josh.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Patrick. So, you know, me being a Brady guy and, you know, watching my whole life, my Pats are out. I'll be vicariously rooting for Tom Brady here. But what's interesting to me, guys, on the one hand, I think Michael, you know, makes a great point here. The Saints have had the Bucs number 2-0 this year. Week 1 beat them 34-23. Week 9 crushed them 38-3. Another nugget here is Breeze has, I believe, the best record against Tom Brady head-to-head of any NFL quarterback. He's 5-2. Against Brady. So on the one hand, it's like the Saints own the Bucs. Breeze has owned Brady. If you like the Saints here in this matchup, I think the -3 is the best number you're going to get. So you may want to grab it now because, again, as you mentioned, Patrick, the juice on the -3 is -115, -120. Looks like it's probably going to go to 3.5. The one thing I do like about Tampa Bay, if you're, if you're going to bet Tampa Bay and getting the points here, number one, I would wait for that 3.5 because when this line opened, you know, 4, 3.5 down to 3. All the money that came in, respective money on Tampa Bay, was with the hook or higher. So you look at Brady, you know, Tampa Bay with a line move in their favor. Those dogs in the playoffs are about 70%. So, Michael, is it just, hey, you know, the Saints own Tampa here and lay the points? Or would you be inclined with Brady? Would you be interested if it was 3.5?
You know, I just think matchups really rule this round. I think that's why, you know, Brady Cannon talked about this on Wednesday. 89% of the teams in this round cover that win. You know, and I think that that's really the critical component. And look, Breeze didn't throw the ball that well when they played down in Tampa, but they're playing indoors. And I think he'll be able to throw the ball well against the Bucs defense. And the Bucs are going to have to play at a much higher level than they have. What's their signature win, Josh? What is the Bucs' signature win this year? They beat Green Bay. Green Bay turned the ball over, and they scored a touchdown with their defense. Anytime Brady's gone against a really good pass rush, he has not been able to really respond and make plays. They don't play complementary football with their offense to help their defense. You know, for example, when you break this down, you know, there are certain teams in the National Football League that their defense just doesn't play 31 minutes or more. And that starts with when you look at the Rams. I mean, the Rams have done a good job with their defense, but they play less defense than any team in the National Football League because of their ability on offense to control the football.
Here's what I do know. If you think the Saints are going to cover that 3, a correlative bet is in play here. So if the Saints cover, if so, it's worth noting that unders are 7-1 in the past 8 New Orleans covers. So when they cover, they play good defense as well. The pressure is a huge part of this Tampa Bay defense. That is what, you know, that they're going to have to dial up some pressure. Bulls blitzed a ton in the first matchup against New Orleans. That's going to be key here for this Tampa defense, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, it is. But, you know, one thing which Sean Payton does a really good job of is moving the formations around, being in 22, then he's in 21, then he's in 11, then he's in back to 12. You know, he kind of moves there. Then Taysom Hill's the quarterback. And he's seen pretty much all the things that Todd Bowles has to offer. And then it comes down to, can we cover him? Can we cover them? And that's a challenge. They haven't proved that they can cover one-on-one. And how do they deal with Kamara? Like, what are they going to do to handle Kamara? Now, we know Devin White's back. That'll certainly help them in their defense. But to me, they had a hard time handling Washington. Washington would have moved the ball even better than they did if they would have had some catches.
When you see Taysom Hill come in, are you like Twitter? Do you explode and say, enough of this experiment, or do you like it?
No, I don't, because I think Sean gets that winning 3rd and 2 in the National Football League is probably the most important thing in the Elite Eight. Who controls the middle eight this weekend? Who controls 3rd and short are the teams that are going to win? And I think he gives them a little bit of juice in terms of being able to do different things. They've got to offset Drew Brees' inability to make plays with his feet. Now, Brees did something last week that he needs to do again. When they needed that third down play, he moved in the pocket. He threw it to Murray ran it in. They had him sacked. It was almost there, but his feet got him out. He's not just locked in one place. But by adding Hill, it creates another dimension for them. I don't mind it at all.
Okay, a college hoops play. Now, the Big Ten is as deep and as brutal as you're going to find a conference in years and years. Last night, Purdue went to Indiana and beat Indiana. Those are two good basketball teams. Josh is going to give a play for Wisconsin and Rutgers. I haven't even looked, but here's what I do know. My guess is he's on Wisconsin, and I'll tell you why. They're going to Rutgers, but Wisconsin got pummeled in Ann Arbor, and I'm talking beat by like 30 a couple of nights ago. What do you think that
Coke
means?
Coke machines.
What do you think that means? He's going to turn around and bet the team that's Coke undervalued machines right now. Josh, Wisconsin at Rutgers.
Who says they're undervalued? Like, where does that come in? Like, maybe they're just bad.
They could be. Now, Josh, am I right?
So, surprisingly, Patrick, you're actually wrong, believe it or not.
Oh!
I'm looking at Rutgers here. Can
shocker.
You believe it, Rutgers? I know, this is a bit of a shocker here, but this does match one system for me with Rutgers. Unfortunately, our guy TG can't book this game for Jackie Jr. in the college dorms because they don't take it in Jersey. But Wisconsin ranked 9th. We have like 45 games today, Patrick, Michael. No big matchups here. This is your kind of high profile one, 9 o'clock. Everyone is betting Wisconsin. They very well may bounce back. This open 3 down to 2.5, unranked conference dog at home. KenPom has a 2-point game. Go Jackie Jr. and Rutgers.
Scarlet Knights, Michael Lombardi. That's your team right there.
I love the Scarlet Knights. Look, I love it, you know. But, I mean, this college basketball, I'm just warning everybody. Listen to Greg Peterson or anyone else here from VSiN. It's a risky proposition.
It can be. I'll see you both in the morning, okay?
Thanks,
big
Patrick.
Weekend,
thanks,
guys.
Josh.
Have a good Friday. Thanks, it's going to be a big weekend here on the Lombardi Line. Again, 7 West, 10 East. We'll see you then. The Edge is coming up next. Have a good Friday.